Good afternoon. As usual, we will start this conference with a 15- to 20-minute-long presentation from our CEO, Hans Stråberg, and our CFO, Jonas Samuelson. The presentation you will see here will follow the slideshow, which is available on our webpage, electrolux.com. After the presentation, we will start with a Q&A session. We will conclude the conference call around 4:00 P.M. Central European Time. We should use the Q&A session as efficient as possible and let everybody have the chance to put forward questions. Therefore, I would like each of you to ask only one question at a time. So, please, Hans.
Thank you, and welcome to this discussion of the 2009 first quarter results. With me here today, I have our CFO, Jonas Samuelson, and our Head of IR, Peter Nyquist. In this first quarter, the market demand for appliances in our major markets has continued to decline. In this tough environment, we were able to generate a positive operating income for the first quarter. This was very much thanks to our previous cost reduction programs that now start to generate savings. In this seasonally slow period, I'm happy to present a strong cash flow and a solid financial position. And now let's have a look at the first quarter. As you can see in this chart, the first quarter is the seasonally weakest during the year. Before items affecting comparability, Electrolux showed a slightly positive operating income for the first quarter of 2009. We're getting closer to the end of our factory relocation program, and in the first quarter we've taken restructuring charges of close to 400 million crowns. We're closing our facilities in St. Petersburg, Russia, and Changsha in China, and we're increasing efficiency at our Porcia factory in Italy, and more will come. Our main markets continue to show a strong decline. We are also starting to see weakened demand in Latin America and Southeast Asia. During the last 6 months, we have also seen significant currency movements. Although we overall have a well-balanced currency portfolio, many of the most important currencies have turned against us, and then primarily affecting Asia-Pacific, Latin America, and Europe. The total currency effect amounted to minus 400 million crowns in the first quarter. We are continuing to run Electrolux with focus on cash flow, which clearly can be seen in the first quarter. We're keeping our inventory at a low level, we're managing our payment terms, and we're reducing our investments. Our global cost savings programs are now beginning to generate savings, and we expect more savings to be achieved throughout 2009. Our result was negatively impacted by our launch in North America. We continued to make significant investments in building the Electrolux brand. And with that, I'd like to hand over the word to Jonas.
Thank you, Hans. I'll start by describing the non-recurring items on slide 3. That we had in the first quarter of 2009, and then I'll talk some more about cash flow. In North America, the net effect of our launch amounted to minus 200 million crowns in Q1 09 compared to last year's net effect of minus 120 million crowns. The brand investments will gradually come down this year as we exit the launch phase, but with the current market conditions, we expect Electrolux branded business to be slightly negative for the full year of 2009. As you can see on this slide, we had a number of non-recurring items in the first quarter of 2008, amounting to minus 550 million crowns, primarily related to the redundancy program in Europe and then the Electrolux launch in the US. In the first quarter of 2009, we've also taken a number of charges related to our restructuring program, which are included in items affecting comparability. In China, we closed down our low-end refrigeration factory in Changsha. The closure incurred a total cost of 187 million crowns. As you can see, the costs have increased compared to the previously communicated amount, and this refers to higher costs related to the closure. We will also close our washing machine factory in St. Petersburg in Russia. The closure of that factory incurs a total cost of approximately 105 million crowns. And finally, in Italy, we will downsize and re-engineer our washing machine factory in Porcia. The cost amounts to 132 million crowns and is charged in operating income within items affecting comparability. Turning to cash flow, we're very happy with our cash flow in the beginning of 2009. In the first quarter, our cash flow from operations and investments is more than 400 million crowns better than the previous year. And remember, as you can see in the slide, that the first quarter usually shows the seasonally lowest cash flow. We've continued to focus hard on working capital. We're closely monitoring our retailers' financial situation, their payment behavior, the credit rating, and we have very strict policies against payment term deteriorations. We've continuously adjusted capacity to demand during the quarter, including temporary shutdowns in our facilities in order not to build up inventories. And we've been very successful in that, in having flat inventories from the low level at the year end 2008. For the full year of 2009, our target is to reduce capital expenditures by about 30%. And in the first quarter, capital expenditures was lower in comparable currencies compared to the prior year. Finally, some comments on the balance sheet. During the remainder of 2009 and into 2010, we only have 1.5 billion crowns in debt maturities. In the first quarter, we raised net new borrowings of more than 1 billion crowns, and our liquid funds by the end of March exceeds 10 billion crowns. In other words, we have a very solid platform for a continued difficult 2009. I return to you, Hans.
Now, I will describe our European results in more detail. If we exclude the non-recurring items that we had in the first quarter of 2008, our European results were in line with last year. We were, of course, affected by the sharp market decline that was seen during the quarter. The demand for appliances is significantly down in, for us, important markets such as the Nordic region, Italy, and Great Britain. The currency fluctuations have also had a negative impact on the Q1 results. In this market environment, we've been very focused on not building up inventories through adjusting production. We have reduced capacity utilization in our plants, which has impacted our results negatively. On the positive side, we have been able to raise prices. Country by country, we're now following our plan to raise prices to compensate for previous year's increased raw material costs. We've also significantly reduced fixed and variable costs in the quarter. The redundancy program that we initiated at the beginning of last year has now been completed, and this is generating annual savings of around 350 million crowns. In December, we introduced a new redundancy program. The total program included decreasing our workforce by more than 3,000 people, whereof close to 800 people in Europe. The program will roll over the whole year, with the majority of the savings occurring in the latter part of 2009. Finally, as for appliances, the demand for floor care products was significantly down in the first quarter. In addition, the US dollar versus the euro has impacted our floor care business negatively, and as a great portion of our products sold in Europe are being produced in China. Industry shipments of core appliances in Europe declined by 15% during the first quarter of 2009 in comparison with the same period of last year. While Western Europe declined by 9%, the Eastern European market declined by 31%. Demand in several key markets as the Nordic region, Italy and Great Britain continued to decrease. We are concerned about the outlook for the important German market, which has so far held up very well. As you can see in this chart, the yearly comparison has shown a negative trend since mid-2007. And currently, we don't see any improvement of the market demand in Europe. Now, let's turn to North America. The sharp market decline that we saw in the last quarter of 2008 continued in the beginning of this year. The declining demand has, of course, had a negative impact and effect on our sales as well as on the operating income. In the first quarter, we continued to build up a strong position for our Electrolux-branded products by further investments in marketing. The net negative effect of our North American launch amounted to 200 million crowns in the first quarter, compared to 120 million crowns in Q1 2008. Our North American business was negatively impacted by increased raw material costs. The net effect amounted to approximately minus 100 million crowns. Even if we have seen declining steel prices lately, the comparing price levels of 2008 are still low. In the first quarter, we had a positive effect from last year's price increases. It should be noted that Q1 2008 results were negatively impacted by litigation costs of 80 million crowns. Our floor care business was negatively impacted by weak markets. By raising prices and improving our product mix, we could mitigate the negative effect. Industry shipments of appliances in the U.S. declined by 16% in the first quarter. After the dramatic fall in January and February, we saw some stabilization in March, when the market was down only by 7%. However, it should be noted that March last year had two more trading days. We've now experienced the falling demand for appliances for almost 3 years in North America. The size of the appliance market is almost at the same level as in 1996. There are some signs of stabilization in the North American market. However, we don't expect as quick recovery as we have experienced in previous years. Now, let's look at and let's talk about our North American launch. In the first quarter, we have continued to make significant investments in building the Electrolux brand. The net negative effect for the U.S. launch amounted to 200 million crowns. As Jonas just mentioned, we now estimate a slightly negative effect for the full year of 2009. We have received good market acceptance for our products. We are exposed on more than 4,000 floors, that's retailer floors, and we have so far gained a market share of 5% in the premium segment. Our new products exceed our expectations in quality, placement, customer response, and awareness, and we can also see a positive mix improvement in the overall result. The weak market demand continues in Latin America, and shipments for appliances were lower in the first quarter of 2009. However, it is important to point out that the decline is not as dramatic as in Europe or North America. We're still talking about a decrease of around 5%. Despite the weak market, our sales were in line with previous year, thanks to market share gains and price increases. Unfortunately, our operating income is lower than last year, mainly due to currency impact. The results were negatively impacted by unfavorable currency movements for dollar-priced components and raw materials, which account for approximately 30% of the material content. In addition, our product mix was negatively impacted by selling more air conditioners. Although it is difficult in a declining market, we are continuing to increase prices to compensate for currency fluctuations and other cost increases. Now, let's look at our Asia Pacific business. In a declining Australian market, we were able to increase our volumes and consequently take market shares. Despite the negative currency effect and the impact of purchasing of U.S. dollar-priced components and products, we were able to improve the operating income, thanks to cost reductions and price increases. In Southeast Asia, after a long time of growth, the market demand for appliances declined. At the same time, we were able to improve price and mix in Southeast Asia. Market statistics for shipments of appliances in China showed a historic decline of around 25% in the first quarter of  2009. In China, we shut down our production facility of low-end refrigerators in Changsha, and we're concentrating our distribution in order to achieve a long-term, strong China business. Market demand for our professional products is estimated to have declined in the first quarter. For our food service business, fewer new products were started, and demand for replacement products declined. We could see that many of our customers are delaying their purchases of new equipment. Group sales of food service equipment declined in comparable currencies. The result was negatively impacted by lower production to adjust to the lower demand situation, and we saw some positive effects from personnel cutback savings. Group sales of professional laundry equipment declined in comparable currencies, and lower capacity utilization was mitigated by an improved cost structure. The weak market trend that we experienced at the end of last year has continued at the beginning of 2009. While the European market now has fallen for six consecutive quarters, the shipments of appliances in North America has been falling for almost 3 years. In Latin America, the demand for appliances continues to decline. We don't see any recovery of market demand in the near future. We expect the group's main markets to decline further in the second quarter, as well as in the full year of 2009. We expect our costs for raw materials to stabilize in the second quarter of 2009 compared to the same period last year. For the full year of 2009, if nothing dramatic happens on the global raw materials markets and with our main currencies, we expect our raw material costs to be somewhat lower compared to 2008. Peter.
Okay, thank you, Hans. We are now ready for the Q&A session. As I said in the beginning, we should use the Q&A session as efficient as possible. And let everybody have the chance to put forward questions. Therefore, again, I would like each of you to ask only one question at a time. If you have more questions, though, you are free to line up again for those questions. So, operator, we are now ready for the first question.
The first question comes from the line of Mr. Andreas Willich from JP Morgan. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, Andreas Willi from JP Morgan. My question would be on cash flow. Obviously, a very good performance in Q1. You normally had seasonal outflow in Q1, also as you kind of produced ahead for the year. To what extent is the better Q1 cash flow basically going to be offset by less inflow than in coming quarters, and to what degree is it a proper underlying cash flow generation you wouldn't expect to lose again as you go through the year?
Okay, Andreas, thank you, and I'll ask Jonas to answer that question.
I think the answer is it's a little bit of both. Clearly, in the first quarter here, we have not built inventory at all, whereas usually in the first quarter we do build some inventory for the high selling season, and clearly we're being very cautious about managing our manufacturing to demand here in the first quarter, and we'll continue to do so throughout the year. Having said that, we are also improving our, let's say, working capital ratios. So our ratio of inventory to sales, so accounts receivable to sales and so on, are improving, and that's a trend that we intend to continue to work on and further improve our working capital utilization. And similarly, we've reduced our capital expenditures, which is something we intend to do for the full year as well. So there's a little bit of let's say very cautious inventory management and also improved efficiency and lower investments.
Just on the cash flow, as a follow up, you said 30% lower. Is that in the respective local currencies,
yes,
or is that what
currency.
We should use in Swedish krona?
No, that's local currency.
So it's going to be less in Swedish krona then?
That's correct, but it's important to note that obviously our depreciation is also in local currency, so if you look at the ratio, that still holds together. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Andreas. Next question, please.
The next question comes to line of Mr. David McGregor from Longbow Research. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. You talked about your Latin American business, and I think you mentioned that business there was down 5%, and then you'd got to flat revenues through share gains and some pricing. I wonder if you could just elaborate a little further on your experience there in Latin America. And I guess I'm wondering, you know, will it continue to follow the U.S.? I mean, you talk about the troubles in the U.S. market and that Latin America isn't as bad, and I'm just wondering if this is a timing difference and that eventually the Latin American market might get to that point, or is what reason might you have to believe that it won't get that bad in Latin America?
Yes, I'll try to answer that. Well, our Latin American team has done a great job here, and under the leadership of Ruud Hirschheimer is continuing to launch great products, and that has been very successful for a long time, and it continues here. We have seen the Latin American market being quite resilient in the past, and the downturn has not been as dramatic. How that will play out? Well, I think it is something that we need to follow here, but so far we have not seen the signs of it accelerating down. It continues to be down from the fourth quarter and into the first quarter here, about 5%, 5-6%. And that is what we see for the moment holding steady. And I think there are greater thinkers than myself that can analyze the Latin American or the Brazilian situation going forward. But that's what we see, and we don't see it follow the U.S.
So when you say it's holding steady, that's right through, I guess, where we are here today. Your experience in April has been consistent with the first quarter experience?
That's correct.
Okay. And then just the second part of the question was just if you could elaborate on the share gains.
In Latin America?
Yes.
That comes very much through, or it's almost entirely as a result of product launches, tackling and blocking, and at the same time raising prices. You know, the Brazilian reais has weakened considerably, so we have a lot of imported materials, and we are working hard to increase prices. Raw materials have stayed up in Brazil. You know, the Brazilian market is quite a closed market when it comes to competition, which has, of course, made a dent in our results. But the business is sound. They're doing a great job, and I'm very satisfied with what they are achieving, and hopefully it will start to ease going forward. But we'll have to see that.
Good. Thank you very much, and good luck.
Thank you, David. Next question, please.
The next question comes from the line of Mr. Johan Eliasson from Chevreux. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, this is Johan. Just a question about this IKEA launch in Europe, which seems to be potentially quite significant. IKEA is not known for its kind of high-end type of products, rather the low-end. What is the potential risk on the margins there? Or, I mean, adding volumes right now, however, must also help covering the overhead costs. So in the shorter term, I mean, how does it impact the European margins if you get a bit of volumes out of IKEA?
Well, this we regard as a good business because very well is as you explain it, that these are not high-end built-in products with all the features on. But at the same time, our cost to serve is different from our other accounts, which means that we would not sell here if we were not if we didn't think that we could make a decent margin on these products. It is something that we're starting to ramp up here around summer, and that will with the growth that we have seen in this with this customer, we see that we can grow this business quite substantially, and it will improve our results over time in Europe. We are already sourcing IKEA in the Asia.
Okay,
but you understand, I cannot go into margins or costs or more than overall volumes and so on. But our cost to serve is lower than it is for other accounts, and we're very integrated, and therefore we are able to make a profit on this business as well.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ivan. Next question, please.
The next question comes from the line of Mr. Anders Trapp from SEB. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hi, everyone. I would like to ask you about, did you say that now you expect your U.S. launch to be net negative for this year, but just a little bit? Does that mean then that you expect to see a positive contribution still towards the end of the year from the U.S. launch of the premium products?
That's correct. That's correct, Anders.
Very good. That's all I needed to know.
Good. Sure. Thank you.
Short answer. Next question, please.
The next question comes from the line of Ms. Johan Trockmer from Nordea. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, Johan.
Hi, good afternoon. Medium to longer term question for you, if I may. Your target, Hans, of achieving an EBIT margin of 6% or better long term, if you can just elaborate on the market development, which has been pretty negative, that we've seen in the past couple of quarters accelerating, what kind of market conditions would you need to see once the factory relocation program is completed by Electrolux this year in order for a 6% margin to be achievable for the group looking forward? Would we need a major volume improvement from current levels that we're seeing for the business, or would it be possible to, through further measures or as the business stands today, actually get to that kind of margin level with all the measures put in place once this program is completed?
That's a good question. And when the market slides down like it does at this time, unfortunately, the cost out activities are lagging. We were able to pull a good profit in 1996 as well. And if volumes are going to continue, I'm not saying they will, but just in this example, that they are going to continue on 1996 level, we are going to get the cost down. And we are getting our costs down right now, but with some lag. So this over time, it is not that the market has to come back to sky-high levels. It's a matter of how we adjust our cost structure to the level that it's going to be. So in short, our target remains here, but it's difficult to achieve it in a market that is sliding down. So the market has to stabilize, and of course it will be easier to achieve it if it starts to grow a little bit, and that we then can hold on to our cost structure.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Next question, please.
The next question comes to the line of Mr. Colin Gibson from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi there, it's Colin Gibson from HSBC. Just a question, please, on the outlook statement. I think in comments this morning, you were prepared to differentiate between North America and the other markets when it came to the outlook. I think you said that we see some signs that we're beginning to reach the bottom vis-a-vis North America. And yet when I look at slide 13 in this presentation, you haven't differentiated North America from any of the other markets. So I'm wondering whether slide 13 is particularly cautious or whether there is some kind of mismatch there, but perhaps you could just help me understand.
I have not given an outlook. I've described what we see right now. And secondly, the rate of decline is decreasing. We see that the decline is breaking somewhat. And if we look at the AHAM figures for the first 3 months of 2009, I think we had, from memory here, we had a decline in January compared to January 2008 of minus 20% order of magnitude. And then in February it was minus 15, and in March it was minus 9 in that order of magnitude. So the second derivative has changed sign there. But we are not at the bottom yet. And we should also remember that we are moving into territory with, easier comparisons, because we've been down for almost 3 years in North America. And I think this is also logical, because What we showed here in the last call we had was that in 2005, replacement sales was about 55% of the market demand in the U.S. Now it is at about 70%. And even if people are unemployed, even if people don't have the finances, if the refrigerator breaks, they have to replace it. And therefore, there is a backstop somewhere. And maybe this is an indication of that it's starting to reach a level like that. But to be very, very clear, we don't see that this market will bounce back anytime soon. And it has not reached the rock bottom yet either.
Sure, I understand that, but it's not a question of bouncing back so much as you yourself said, citing the AHAM numbers, as slowing down less quickly, if I can put it that way, which just sounds like an odd way to put it. But yep. I don't see any sign of that. If I look at slide 13, you've got every single downward sloping arrow on slide 13 is downward sloping at precisely
the
same angle.
But what should it look like? How would you describe it, what I just said? Should the arrow be up or sideways? It's down. It's down in the first quarter, and we expect it to be down further. Then we can discuss the angle.
Just adding to that, Colin, I think what also been stated in the CEO comments and from Hans is that the coming quarters will still be down in U.S. And then we see a signs of a stabilization. So the coming quarters again will be negative in U.S. That's the statement that has been made.
I see. Okay. I remain slightly confused because in the statement this morning it sounded like you were differentiating between North America being, you know, where after all the recession in the white goods market has already lasted a lot longer, sounded like the outlook statement vis-a-vis North America was a bit more hopeful than the outlook statement vis-a-vis Europe. Yet when I look on slide 13 and I look at the FY09 column, I see no differentiation between North America and Europe, and so I'm just that's the source of my confusion.
I think, Colin, we all like to see looking for signs of light in the tunnel here, and I think we're talking about degrees in hell maybe. The European market is continuing to go down because it entered later, and we don't know how far it will go down. Probably it will not go down all the way as the U.S. market has done. In North America, we're seeing some signs of that the descent is slowing down somewhat. That's what we've seen during the quarter, and that's what we are reporting back. Remember now that the U.S. market is down probably some 25% from the peak in 2005.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Colin. Next question, please.
The next question comes from the line of Mr. Stefan Lycke from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hello, Stefan.
Hi, guys. My question would be on the mix, particularly in Europe. I understand that you benefited from a sort of increased share in built-in. So, one, if you could quantify the effect of this, if possible, and also, two, sort of what should we expect going forward? I would have assumed that built-in should have been more cyclical than, for instance, freestanding.
Yep. Go ahead, Jonas.
Yeah, no, it's true. We are gaining share in built-in, and I guess it is specifically related to us gaining share in Germany. And we're losing a little bit of share in freestanding, and particularly in the UK. So if you look at just that we're in fact exiting some low-end segments in the UK and gaining share in Germany. Just that by itself has a major positive mix impact in the European context. So I think that's really the big issue that we're looking at.
Okay, but would you agree that sort of exiting low end or whatever we should call it, then built-in should be more cyclical than freestanding? Is that a correct assumption?
Yeah, that's correct, because the replacement share of sales in freestanding is higher than in built-in at this point.
Perfect, thanks.
Thank you, Stefan. Next question, please.
The next question comes from the line of Mr. Rasmus Engberg from Handelsbanken. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Can I ask you about Latin America? The drop in the margin year on year, is there anything temporary in that, or is that just an effect of the currency situation, which I think
if I'm not mistaken, has worsened further. Or is this a new level of profitability that you have to start to work from, is my question, actually.
No, this is something that is relating to quarter one with the currency situation and with the overhang of material cost from the end of last year. Those are the two main factors. And as I said earlier here, this business in Brazil and in Latin America is fundamentally very sound. So it is, I would call it a temporary thing. It may take us some time to work ourselves out of it, but it's not a systemic change in our business.
So I shouldn't plot it to the real versus the dollar. It's this is a lag effect.
Well, the reais has changed. I don't have the very updated number now, but some 50-60% to the dollar. And of course, that is impacting us. And it takes time to resource and to negotiate down and do these different things. So in part, it is related to the reais, but it's not entirely. So we are working hard here to, and the team in Latin America to climb up from this pit at this time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Rasmus. Next question.
The next question comes from the line of Mr. Patrick Lindqvist from HQ Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi guys, I had a question on Germany. You said that obviously that was a reasonable market in the first quarter, but you also mentioned that you're a bit concerned about Germany looking ahead. Just want to get a feel for what you see in there, and also if you could just explain or put in numbers somehow how sort of this German growth that you had in the first quarter impacted margins, how much that added to margins in the European business if you compare it to last year. Thanks.
Okay, Patrick, I will be happy to do so. Germany seems to have been or seems to be counter-cyclical here. When all the European markets were increasing in the past, they were not growing. They were quite stable or maybe down. Now in this condition, they have actually grown 4% in volume in the first quarter. I think it has very much to do with the delayed effect of downturn in the German market and also with that they have been bolstering the economy with all these stimulus in automotive, in not laying off people. And I think the jury is out on Germany. If demand, if as Germany is very export dependent, if export does not pick up, it's a matter of how long will the German industry be and then the authorities be able to fund this not laying off people. If they have to lay off people, then I think it can go very fast and unemployment will shoot up. But we haven't seen that yet. As long as they hold on to this, then I don't see a risk.
Are there any signs in the white goods market at your clients, the inventory that they're taking, that you're seeing it, or is it just the macroeconomic backdrop?
I think the condition of the German consumer feeling, being having a job, having a cash flow, and there has been a pent-up demand in Germany, so that is probably what they are continuing to spend on. So it's probably more with unemployment and macro than it is has to do with major appliances.
Okay. And the mix impact in Q1? That's my 1.5 question. Sorry, Peter.
From Germany?
Yes.
Yeah, and no, we don't break it down to that level of detail.
I think we are getting our act together. We have during the latter part of 2008 and now 2009, you know, after we've had some difficult time after we closed the factory there. And we are on our way back in Germany. We're very happy with the development.
Okay, thanks.
I mean, it stands for about 7% of total revenues in the company and about 15% of Europe. So it's an important market for us, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Patrick. Next question, please.
The next question comes from the line of Mr. Sam Edmonds from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. It's a question on pricing. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
So it was a question on pricing. Really impressive sort of price moves in the first quarter, almost at a low point in the cycle, and you're pushing prices up. I was wondering two things. First off was, do you think that these price increases are a sign of change from the industry and that they'll be sustainable going forwards? And the other question on price was that the $200 million negative on the U.S. product launch seemed to me a little bit worse than had been expected last year. And I was just wondering if you were getting the price realization that you'd hoped for in the U.S. product launch, or whether that was more a volume issue. Thank you.
On the pricing side, well, I certainly hope it is sustainable, but I think we have to take it quarter by quarter. I think as I have reported numerous times here, we have been pushing very much, and I think the industry has, at least for the moment, realized that €1 on the price cannot be compensated by large volume increases, and especially not in a market like this. And we also have currency fluctuations and cost issues that needs to be compensated for. So hopefully it is, but that's not something I can promise for the industry, but I can promise it for us. We have also refrained from selling into accounts that we are worried about their finances. So we have been taking a very cautious approach to this. And of course the jury is out on that if they... but we don't want to risk things like that. When it comes to the U.S. launch, it's a business decision that we ended the launch in the Q1. Now we're going into, call it, normal operations to continue to sell and build the Electrolux brand. And we had large launches in the first quarter that we had scheduled, and it was pretty much what we had planned for. Volumes are maybe a little bit weaker in the beginning of the quarter than we had expected because of the overall market downturn, but nothing extraordinary.
Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you, Sam. Next question, please.
The next question comes from the line of Mr. David Campbell from Owl Creek. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Over the course of the quarter, from January to March, how did demand develop in Europe in particular and in all the markets? Could you just tell us, within the quarter, what the trend was?
It was dreadful in January, and it was hopeless in February, and in March it was down. Joking aside, the year started out very weak and improved over the month. Is that David?
Yeah, that's good. And then second.
And I think what I just said about AHAM in North America, the official market statistics shows that sign -22, -15, -9, compared to the same period last year. At the same time as last year was, of course, comparing with weaker numbers.
And then second, did you quantify the raw materials and components change from Q108 to Q109?
Jonas,
the one number that we quantified was North America, -100 million crowns, and it was a little bit negative here and there in the other sectors as well, so a bit over 100 million.
Okay. Thank you, David. Next question, please.
The next question comes to the line of Mr. Christer Fredriksson from ABG Sundal Collier. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I have a question on currencies. You had minus 400 million kroner effect in Q1. The question was how much, firstly, do you have hedges that protect you on dollar especially? And secondly, if you would exclude those hedges, how much would the negative impact be in Q1?
Yeah, obviously we do hedge our currency exposures, and let's say generally speaking around 6 months or so, plus or minus. And what that means is that if you look at how the currencies moved last year, basically right now the hedges that we have and the hedges that are maturing right now are more or less close to the market level right now. So we don't really see much either positive or negative from currency hedging right now. In the first quarter, we still had a few sort of more favorable hedges maturing. But for the most part in Q1, that's kind of it was more or less at the market level. So we didn't see a big negative or positive from hedging in the quarter.
Okay, so I can expect the similar levels in Q2 and onwards for the 2009 then.
Well, it depends on how currencies move, but yeah, for at least a couple of quarters, yes.
Yeah. And the second thing was on trading down effects in Europe. Know that you have a more favorable mix, but the general trading down effect from consumers, have you seen that, and how big impact do you have from that?
Yes, when markets decline, when demand declines like this, we've seen it in the past, and people trade down. They buy products that have that are less featured and lower price points, and that is what we have seen in the U.S. over this time, and what we have seen in Europe as well. Then we should be clear on that Europe, there are 32 countries. So the mix between different countries that's very important to take into account. To give you one idea here, if I take the Swedish market, where we have a very strong position in built-in, that has declined, and therefore, of course, we see this more in this market than we see it in another country where we are not as strong in built-in. But the overall market is trading down in about the same way as the U.S. market is.
Okay, Chris, are you happy with that?
I hope for some kind of isolated number on the effect, but
we don't disclose those kind of numbers. I'm sorry about that.
No problem. Thanks anyway.
Okay. Next question, please.
The next question comes from the line of Mr. Andreas Willi from J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Just have a follow-up question on your interest expense line, which was lower in the quarter than I had expected. You mentioned in the press release lower funding costs. Was it just a normal quarter? Can we take this times four, or was there any influences from hedging derivatives or so on the interest line in this quarter? Where should we expect it to see going now?
No, it's a good question. There actually were some favorable effects in addition to the more favorable interest rate levels. So I don't you can't extract it completely. But I mean, there are some ups and downs, as you understand, in the finance net, that not just interest rates.
But in Q1, if you just take the normal interest expense and the normal interest income, what would the number have been just for a proper financial expense?
Yeah, it would be a little bit higher.
So, 20 million higher, 50 million higher?
I think it's about 20 something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, it's a little more than 20, I would say.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Andreas. Next question, please.
The next question comes from the line of Mr. Jack Boutier from InPower Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hello, Jack.
Hi, thank you. Hi. Just a follow-up question on Brazil. I think it's last week the government announced some tax cut on appliances, and I think the largest white goods retailer yesterday said that they expected that it would have some positive impact, and they've done the same thing for cars, and that definitely had a positive impact in the first quarter. Could you comment on that?
Yes, that is something we have welcomed, and it has had an effect on automotive sales. And we hope that it will have a similar effect on appliances. But it's really too early to tell, but at least it won't have a negative impact on it. So we'll have to follow that and see. I don't think it will have any extraordinary effect to it. And we also have to be mindful about that we're borrowing from the future. But I think it's positive.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next question, please.
The next question comes from the line of Mr. Franz Hayat from PI Ideas. Please go ahead with your question.
Good afternoon. The cost savings that you realized in Q1, how big were they, and what contribution do you expect for the full year?
Okay. You want to take a cut at that?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different components to that that it's a little bit difficult to give a good answer. I think we've indicated the various programs that we've launched, the cost reduction program in Europe that we launched in Q1 of 2008, we indicated that was about a 400 million annual savings rate, and that's what we're seeing coming through right now. The cost reduction, the redundancy program that we announced in December of 2008, where we talked about a full year run rate of 1 billion, very little of that is actually coming through in Q1, and we expect to see that not really coming through until, let's say, fourth quarter in any kind of real significant numbers. And then obviously there's the ongoing cost out initiatives on products, and in particular in Europe, where there's been a lot of work for a long time, which is now finally giving results. But there it's a little bit more difficult to give an exact number because there's a lot of ins and outs. And then obviously on top of all of those, then there's the, let's say, more temporary reductions in discretionary spending, such as travel and brand spending and things like that, and that's obviously not as sustainable. But we're doing that in anticipation of full effect of the other cost reduction programs. So it's hard to give an exact number of that, but it's obviously all in all several hundred million kroner in the quarter.
In the quarter and for the full year, what, 1 billion or so?
Yeah, I think we stated in the fourth quarter here that it will be just above 1 billion for the full year.
Would you venture a guess at the benefit on the EBIT margin from raising selling prices? How much has that actually, what would the EBIT have been without that benefit?
It would have been very weak.
Yeah. Thank you, Franz.
Yeah, thank you.
Next question, please.
The next question comes to line of Mr. Sam Darkatch from Raymond James. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, hello, thank you. Most of my questions have been asked and answered. The one remaining I would have, could you help with respect to what your specific volumes were by region? You mentioned the industrial, even if it's directionally, if you could help quantify what the unit volume shipments were by region, that'd be very helpful.
For us, for Electrolux?
Yes, sir.
We don't disclose those numbers. Sorry about that.
Okay, well then could you talk about what overall pricing and mix benefited company-wide, even if, so you won't give the granularity on a regional basis, but overall, what was the benefit of pricing mix for the quarter?
Yeah, I don't want to give exact numbers, but it's several hundred million kroner.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question, please.
The next question comes from the line of Mr. Anders Chatt from SEB. Please go ahead.
Yes, actually most of my question been answered, so I will actually just ask for a clarification. The dreadful to just down description, was that referring to Europe, US or both?
You mean about the volumes in January?
Yes.
Overall.
It was overall. And how would you...
I think what you saw there, Anders, was late in last year. It was stock reduction, and some of it lasted into January. And then I think we're about in balance with the consumer demand.
The AGM, didn't you say that you had a year to date then was about 20% down in Europe, and now it came out at 15, implying that it was only like 7 or so down in March.
Yeah. That's
would
correct.
Would that be the difference then, the 20 to 7, more or less fully explained by the Easter effect, that Easter comes in April this year and it was in March last year?
Yeah, it probably has some effect. March was, I think, 2 days longer than last year, so that has an effect. And therefore, especially with Europe...
Especially in Europe, yeah.
I think especially in Europe that is bolstering the March numbers somewhat.
Yeah, all right. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question, please.
The next question comes from the line of Mr. Johan Eliasson from Chevreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. I just wanted to follow up on the raw materials. I see on your graphs here that you say now that you expect steel costs to be down on the full year 2009. Could you quantify that to any extent, and what do you see for the other raw materials?
Yes, that's Jonas. Do you want to?
Well, I think we don't want to do that because we're still. Let's say we haven't locked in the full year, and it's, as you know, extreme volatility in those market prices. So I think it would be imprudent to give an exact outlook for the year.
Is that only for steel that you haven't locked in?
No, it's true for I guess most of our commodities that we haven't locked in the full year.
Mm. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Next question, please.
The next question comes to the line of Mr. Colin Gibson from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, it's Colin again. Just a very quick and very, very simple and straightforward question. That is, any guidance you can give us regarding items affecting comparability and non-recurring items for the balance of the year?
Yes, I'd be happy to. You know, items affecting comparability, the only costs we... account for there are in relation to the factory relocation program that we announced in 2004. And we're doing that to keep it separately. I mean, that's real money too, but it is a program that is very important to keep track of. Then we have costs related to the factory relocation program that don't qualify for the items affecting comparability. Those we take against the normal EBIT line, and we don't talk about very much. So there are costs both in items affecting comparability and in the results. Then when we talk about non-recurring, that is costs that are not... with the market intervention, or if it is a cost of legal action or something like that, is not reoccurring, but it's still real, and they happen over time once in a while. So that's part of the running P&L. Is that an answer?
Yeah, I was just wondering if there's any more detail you could give us on any charges under those items you see likely to occur over the balance of the year.
Right. I guess we've if you look at the original program and how much we've spent, there's about $1 billion left, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's what we've said before is that for all intents and purposes we expect to conclude this program from a cost perspective this year.
And do you still expect that? Yeah.
Yes, I mean, I can't give you an exact drop dead 31st of December, but that's sort of the overall outlook, yes.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, Colin. Next question.
The next question comes to the line of Mr. Rasmus Engberg from Handelsbanken. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Just wondering what you see in Central Eastern Europe at the moment going into the second quarter. Is it equally bad? I mean, we're talking 25-30% down, or is it somewhat better or less bad, I mean?
I think if we talk about Eastern Europe, which includes the new Europe, so to speak, there it's been down like 30%, and we don't see any easing of that. It continues like that. And it is a combination of purchasing power. It's a combination of getting financing getting currency, and it is also that region does not have the same installed base for replacement sales. And we don't see any easing up here anytime soon in that region.
I think it's probably also worth mentioning that we see very, very large differences country to country in Eastern Europe, where, for example, Ukraine is essentially gone as a major appliance market, whereas Poland is holding up quite well, for example.
Could I just stick in one question there? Is it fair to say that this is a geographical mix effect that you see that would be positive for you in a margin perspective and price mix perspective?
No, we have about same market shares in Eastern Europe as we have in Western Europe, and we have close to the same profitability as well.
Okay.
In the same order of magnitude, so that's not within brackets helping us.
Okay.
Okay, we are now ready for the last question here, and for those of you who have not received answers on your questions, you can contact us after this conference call. But I think we are ready for Roland Jonsson here for the last question. Please.
Sorry, thanks. It's going to be a pretty boring last question, I'm afraid. François, you were into this cost developments this year. Another way of trying to get closer. Capacity utilization rates currently for some of the major plants in North America and Europe, where do we stand? Where are you? And where do you sort of plan to be come sort of year end?
Well, we had pretty good and close to flat out in many of the plants' capacity utilization at the peak. If the markets are down now, or if we're down accordingly, then in North America we would be down some 25% or in that order of magnitude, and in Europe some 15-20. So that's our capacity utilization.
Okay, and that's adjusted for what you've done as far as cutting headcount reductions and...
Yeah, I think we started out last year with close to 58,000 people in Electrolux, and we're probably down to, 50 now?
We have to note that it's very, very difficult to quote capacity utilization.
Sure.
Is it you know, one shift straight time or two shifts or current employment or technical capacity and so on? It's almost impossible to answer capacity utilization questions like that, because obviously we adjust, you know, line rates and shifts and employment to the current demand on an ongoing basis.
Sure. I'm thinking of under absorption short term and then CapEx going forward. If you were to fully utilize these plants at sort of a three shift basis or whatever you can do, how much of volume can you absorb? How much of an upturn can you absorb from here?
I think we will find ways to both absorb it in our own facilities and also readjust. And on top of that, we have outsourced also, so that capacity we can crank up from outside. So I'm not, we have taken down our capacity with our factory relocation program also. But I'm not worried that we will be not be able to deliver in an upturn.
No, and how much capacity shutdowns will you achieve before year end, do you think?
Well, it depends on where the market is going, because we are adjusting in real time. Because one thing is technical capacity. With the equipment, but because the equipment is still possible with that to produce. Another one is the people, the manpower, and the costs around it, and that we're taking down to, as you can see, this quarter to crank your profit in a quarter with such a downturn.
Yeah.
Shows that we can adjust the cost level. But of course, because we are... We have our fixed costs, depreciation and so on. Then we have, call it semi-fixed, and then we have variable. And the seam I fixed, it takes a little bit longer to take down. And that is white-collar people and so on. And we had this discussion, I think, 2 years back. And I think here you have some proof of that. If the markets go down like this, we said that we will adjust our cost. And in some regions, some parts of the world, it goes very fast. Europe is the slowest region to take cost out, but it comes after with some lag. One thing that I wanted to clarify here in which we didn't, is that when we are reducing our capex with about 30%, this does not mean that we are cutting out product development and product introductions to any significant amounts, but it is that we have relocated the majority of our manufacturing, and I'm really happy that we did that so early, because we see some other companies that are now scrambling to do the same. And we don't need to build any new capacity. And that's one of the reasons for why we're able to take down our capex now.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Roland.
Thank you, Roland.
Please, Hans, for your closing remarks.
Yes, to summarize the first quarter, then here we talked about it, but I would like to highlight the following. First, our cost reduction programs are positively impacting the result. Second, our strong cash flow leaves us with a sound financial position. Currency has had a great negative impact on Q1 results. We are increasing prices in Europe regardless of a very tough market conditions. We're gaining market share in a declining North American market. And looking forward, we see a continued decline in market demand in Europe. We talked about this quite extensively, and it will continue to be tough. The decrease in the North American market will continue in the coming quarters and for 2009 as a whole. However, there are some early signs of stabilization in the North American market, but we don't expect a quick recovery as we have experienced in previous years. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.